You know, except for the grace of God, none of us would make it.
Amen, brother.
Not a one of us deserves to go to heaven.
You're right.
Not a one of us. I don't know who's the best person here that messed up the least, but even the best one would never make it to heaven without the grace of God.
Amen.
And the good thing is, the worst one here can still make it to heaven by the grace of God.
Right.
You know, you can't get too bad that the grace of God doesn't get you to heaven if you come to the right decision. You know, sometimes people get to thinking about the deep things of God and they miss some of the simplest little truths. And this morning I want to talk about something that's real simple, but it's not talked about much in Baptist churches. Just a sort of a hit and miss thing once in a while. But I hope that by the time I get done, you'll say, well, you know, that is in the Bible. And maybe we need to start doing it. Now, I'm going to start off by talking about Tony. It won't be long. The weather will get warm, and Tony and Terry want to go fishing. Now, let's say they're down at the lake, and they've caught a boatload of fish, and they're ready to go home. He cranks up the boat. Well, what's the most important thing? What he does with that rudder or that tiller. I mean, he can want to go home. He can hope to go home. He can be hungry because he knows there's going to be supper on the table when he gets home. But until he points the rudder in the right direction, he can go around in circles. He can zigzag all over the lake. He can run into a rock over there somewhere. But if he sets the rudder right, then he'll get to the dock. Before long, he'll be home. But it all depends on what he does with the rudder on that boat. Did you know that's in the Bible? Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. The book of James, chapter 3. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. James just said something here. He says, you set the direction of your life with your tongue. You set the direction of your life with your tongue. So that means if you're going the wrong direction, you need to change what you're saying. You need to change what you're saying. You know, you think about it. God stepped out into nothingness and he said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, and there was. Now, if God had stepped out and he said, let there be more darkness, then you'd have had to have a chainsaw to cut the darkness. And then the Bible says, God created us in his image. So the things that we say are creative. The things that we say are creative. You say, now, preacher, I'm not sure I'm with you on that. You think if I told a really funny joke, I could create some laughter? You think if I looked back this way and screamed, there's an armed guy coming through the door, I could create some fear and panic? You think if I said, I've been here about 18 months and this is the sorriest church I've ever been a part of, you think I could create some anger? Or if just the opposite, I said, you know, I've been here about 18 months and you are the kindest, lovingest, sweetest people I've ever seen. I could create some love. It all depends Same mouth, same tongue, but depending upon what comes out. Now, in one church I pastored, if I'd have got up and said the Democrats are a bunch of idiots, I'd have probably never made it out of the building alive. You know, I'd had to pull a gun and hope there was nobody behind me, you know. And then, you know, there's other churches, if you said the same thing about the Republicans, but that particular church, that was just the mindset. You know, same mouth, same tongue, but that which we say creates something. Now, go with me to the book of Proverbs, and we'll start at the 12th chapter of Proverbs. And we're just going to look at some things. Now, eventually we'll be somewhere else, but Proverbs chapter 12. And just look, and this is pre-New Testament days, of course. Proverbs 12, verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 15. Verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness. Verse 3, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And then Proverbs 18. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We set the direction of our life with our tongue. How'd you get married? You can think about getting married. You can dream about getting married. You can want to get married. You can fall in love, but how do you get married? You stand before a preacher or a justice of the peace or magistrate, a judge, and say, I do. Now, until you say, I do, there's no marriage. Until both of you say, I do, there's no marriage. If one says, I do, and the other says, I don't, there's no marriage. You know, when you say, I do, then they say, I pronounce you husband and wife. The only way you get married is by saying, I do. Now, a couple can live together. They can have babies together. They can say, we feel married, but they're not married till they do, in a proper situation, say, I do. How do you get saved? Turn with me over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Did you know you can believe in Jesus and go to hell? You can believe in Jesus and go to hell. The book of James, we won't turn there, says, the devils believe and tremble. They shake in their boots, but they're not going to be in heaven. You can believe in Jesus and go to hell. Look at what Paul writes to the Roman Christians, starting in verse 9. Chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess, speak with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Verse 12, there's no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice how he keeps saying, confess, call, speak. He said, you believe something in your heart about Jesus, and then you speak it. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died for me on the cross. I believe that he was buried and he rose again. And so, Lord, I believe in him as my Lord and my Savior. And Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart and save me. A person can believe that, know that, but until they actually confess Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, and actually they actually say something about their belief and their commitment to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's no salvation. Paul says that we believe with our heart, we say with our mouth. Believing, saying equals salvation. And there are a lot of folks that believe some things about Jesus, but yet they've never come to know him as Lord and Savior. Now turn with me over to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. You set the direction for your life with your mouth. You set the direction for your life with your mouth. Now, you remember the background for this. It's Jesus and disciples are going toward Jerusalem. Jesus is hungry. He sees a fig tree. He goes over to see if he can get some figs to eat. There are not any there. And Jesus curses the fig tree. He says, you'll never bear fruit again. Nobody will ever eat from this tree again. Well, they go. They come back. The next day they come by. And the fig tree's dried up. And of course, Peter, you know, he's the one that's usually first one to speak. He's always got something to say. Lord, look! That fig tree that you cursed, it's dried up from the roots. And then notice what Jesus said. Well, Peter, you got to understand something. I'm the Son of God. What I say goes, but don't you try that at home. Is that what Jesus said? No, that's not what Jesus said. Look at what Jesus said. Verse 22 of Mark 11. And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, he shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Jesus didn't tell Peter, said, hey, I'm the Son of God, and I can do things you can't do. He said, whosoever. And if John 3:16 is right, that whosoever believes can be saved, same whosoever here. Whosoever says. And notice how he keeps using the word say. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, the believes the things that he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he say. He keeps saying, say, say, say. He said, you can have what you say. Now, first, I'm not out to create some fruitcakes. Some nuts, some flakes. Don't go home and say, preacher said I could have whatever I say. So I say that in the morning, there's going to be a brand new Rolls Royce in my driveway. Key in the ignition and my name on the title on the dash. and call all your friends and say, come over in the morning because I'm going to have a Rolls Royce there. That's nutty. But there's some people that tried that kind of stuff. And then they wonder why it didn't work. But you might pray something like this. Or say something like this. Father, you say in your word that if a man is faithful, or a woman is faithful with their tithes, you'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing that there not be room enough to receive them. Lord, you say in your word, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and running over. Lord, you say in your word that when we give, you'll meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I have need of some reliable transportation to get back and forth to work. So, Father, I believe that you're going to give me, provide for me, that reliable transportation that I need. And that's not nutty at all. Based on what God said in His Word, you've made an affirmation of faith that God will provide. You see, it depends on what we say. And you know, he started that passage with have faith in God. In other words, have the God kind of faith. God's not going to lead you to pray for something and speak for something that's out of His will. When you have the mind of Christ, everything that you're going to do and say is going to come with the mind of Christ behind it and the power of Christ behind it. Now, we can't control other people with what we say. Lord, I claim that woman over there for my wife, or that man over there for my husband. And especially if they married to somebody else already. And there's some fruitcakes that have tried to do that. But you might pray something like this. Lord, you say in your word that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And Lord, you say in your word that a good wife is a gift from God. So Lord, I believe that you have somebody specially picked out for me that will be a blessing to my life and that she and I can serve you together. So Lord, if it's somebody I already know, then help us to understand that we were meant for each other. And if it's not somebody I already know, bring us together and help us to understand that we're meant for each other. Because, you know, God is at work and we can make the right confession. We can say things and direct our lives in some good ways and bad ways. I wish somebody had taught me this before I was 50 years old. Because, you know, I planted a lot of weeds. And I've been trying to pull them up. Some of them got pretty big. You know, how many of us go around saying, flu season, I always get the flu. I'm going to get the flu. Doesn't matter if I take the shot or not. I'm still going to get the flu. I guarantee you're going to get the flu. You've done opened the door for the devil to give you the flu. Or you say things like, everybody in my family dies young. I know I'm going to die young. All the men in my family die young. Well, we'll be having your funeral while you're young. Or, you know, everybody in my family gets diabetes. Seems like every man in my family's had diabetes. I know we're all going to get diabetes. I'm going to get diabetes. You're going to get it. We can plant a lot of weeds. My family's always been poor, sick, and sorry. You know, I come from a long line of poor, sick, and sorry folks. You plant any weeds in your life? We say those things enough. I remember I was talking with some folks the other day about being a substitute teacher. And I remember a first grade class, and this nice looking little boy in there, but he was having trouble. And he said one day near the end of the year, he said, "You know, my dad says we're a sorry bunch, that we don't ever get a break, and we're not going to do ever amount to much." Here's a first grader that's already ingrained in his mind, he's not going to be ever amount to anything. And he probably won't unless somebody teaches him different. Now, you and I can go through life planting weeds of sickness and poverty, being hard to get along with. We can, with our tongue, you know, nobody likes me. No, down at work, nobody likes me. I don't know why they don't like me, but they don't like me. We can create all kinds of things with our tongue. Or we can create something different. I'm a child of God. God's blessing me because I'm his child. God's got good things for me because I'm his child. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God anoints my head with oil. My cup's not half full, my cup runs over. All that's in Psalm 23, isn't it? We direct the course of our life, just like Tony directing his boat with his rudder, we direct the course of our life with our tongue. And you know, like I said, I wish somebody told me this a long time, because I still look behind my corn planter sometimes and think, you know, I believe there's some weed seed in mixed in with that corn. And say, oh, I've got to start over, go back and pull up some of those weeds. Jesus, you know, the writer of Proverbs says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Jesus said you get what you say. I didn't make that up. Didn't it say that right there in Mark? You get what you say. That makes all the difference in the world. There's mighty power that's available to us as believers. And you know, how many times did Jesus speak, "Peace, be still. Go thy way, thy faith has healed thee." You know, the woman that with the issue of blood, you know, she sneaked in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And the Amplified says, and King James says, "For she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be made whole." Amplified says, "And she kept saying and kept saying and kept saying, if I can just get through this crowd and touch his garment, I'll be made whole." We create our life, the direction of our life, with our tongue. Now there's one other thing here that I think we need to look at in Mark 11, verse 25. "And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Notice "and." There's a connection between mountain moving faith and forgiveness. Now folks, life happens. Stuff happens. There's some folks that are going to hurt you and have no idea that they hurt you. There's some folks that are going to hurt you and know that they hurt you. There's some folks that are going to deliberately hurt you. There's some folks that are going to be malicious in their hurt for you. They're going to be mean about it. They're going to want to do it. but you got to forgive them anyway. It doesn't say if they apologize. You know, I've been waiting for some apologies from some folks for about 30 years. But I forgave them 30 years ago. I forgave them a long time ago. They never have apologized. I don't know why they, maybe they don't even know they hurt me. I think some of them did it on purpose. But I'm not going to let them hold me in bondage. I'm not going to get ulcers because they didn't apologize. I'm going to forgive them. And you know, I'm going to tell this. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to. Sometimes it irritates them. I remember a lady that charged into a deacon's meeting. And she went to telling the deacons what a sorry rascal I was. And I'm sitting there laughing. In my mind, I'm quoting, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." And I'm just laughing. She says, "Wipe that smirk off your face." And she was so far out of bounds that her son, who was chairman of deacons, said, "Mama, shut up and go home." Says, "You don't have a clue about what's going on." So the deacons are already aware of what you're talking about, and you don't have a clue. Well, I forgave her whenever she came in the door, and like I said, I'm sitting there laughing. Not at her, I'm just quoting scripture. I'm being blessed. She's a ranting and raving, but I'm being blessed because I've already forgiven her. Folks, we can choose to be powerful in God, or we can choose to be weak. And the scripture here says, we forgive, and it enhances our power with God. If we don't forgive, we aren't forgiven. I didn't say that again. That's what the Lord said. You know, it's read right there in my Bible. Forgiveness is not always easy. Sometimes forgiveness is hard. Sometimes we forgive and keep on forgiving. You know, Jesus talked about when Peter said, "Hey, 7 times, that's a bunch, isn't it?" He said, 70 times 7. And the devil usually doesn't let you get away with forgiving real easy. I can think about some situations that happened, and it's sort of like a scab, you know, that you forgive and it's healing over. And I'd get in the car and I'd be going to Charlotte or Concord, somewhere to the hospital, and the devil would say, "You remember what they said? Remember what they did to you?" And it's just like scratching that scab. By the time I got back from Concord, that thing bleeding again. I had to learn to quit scratching that scab. And when the devil started bringing it up, when I got in the car, nobody, you know, nothing to do but make sure I didn't run over somebody. I had to learn to say, "Lord, I forgave them last year. Forget it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to think about it. I forgave them." And changed my mind to something else. What am I going to preach Sunday? Or wonder who won the ball game last night? You know, I had to stop scratching the scabs until they completely healed over. Now, the devil likes to keep you scratching the scabs. But forgive and then be healed. Forgive and then be healed. We set our course of life with our tongue. We set our course with life whether we sow weeds or we sow a good harvest. Whether we sow forgiveness or whether we sow unforgiveness with our tongues. And it's so important. It's so simple. Even a 10-year-old ought to get it. And like I say, we don't really talk about it much in Baptist churches because we thought we talk about those name it and claim it people. You know, hey, wait a minute. The writer of Proverbs was about 1,000 years before there's even any New Testament Christianity. And if there's a name it and claim it person, Jesus must have been the first one. Because he's the one that spoke Mark 11, 23 and 24. Now, Jesus did not say create some nuts and flakes and fruitcakes. One other word, start small. Start small. If I went over here to the gym and said, I'm going to show these folks up. There's 300 pounds on this weight. Probably strain my back, have a hernia, whatever. And I'm not picking 300 pounds up. But you know, maybe if I started with five. Maybe I started with five. I might work my way up to several hundred pounds over a period of months or years. But you know, sometimes we wait till we get really bad news or we're facing a really tough situation. And then we try to pick up a 300-pound problem and we're not used to it. But if we start small, it's like I heard a preacher one time saying, you know, so he started claiming, I think it was a Lincoln Continental. And he thought, then somebody told him, says, you're a little out of your league, son. So then he said, well, you know, I believe I'll believe for a pair of socks. It's a special kind of socks that he wanted. And he said, you know, he began to believe for that pair of socks and speak for that pair of socks. And said, you know, he was off at school and it wasn't long till he got a care package from Mama and had that special pair of socks in it. Well, since then, he's owned up, you know, and God's blessed him over the years with a lot of wonderful things that he believed for. But he didn't start with a church building that would hold this one three times. He started with a pair of socks. We set the course of our life with our tongue. We learn to speak. We start small. We work our way up. And before you know it, our life is a life of blessing, both in our own lives and a blessing to others. Or we can sow weeds. It just depends on the direction we set the rudder. If we want to get to where we need to go, where we want to go, change the way we speak. As we have the invitation, if there's anybody here that needs Jesus, or if there's some other decision you want to make, I pray that you'll make it.